Good afternoon, gentlemen. It is indeed good to be here, and I thank you for your patience and time. Today I want to talk to you about gifts and talents. The society we live in, if we possess certain gifts and talents, they may sometimes bring us fame and fortune. We may end up in Hollywood on television. There are many shows that seek out gifted people. American Idol, So You Think You Can Dance, America's Got Talent. When I was a kid growing up, it was The Gong Show. That kind of shows my age, doesn't it? Remember that? Yeah, some of you do. And there's all kinds of reality television shows, too. L.A. Preachers, Survivor, Jersey Shore. And quite frankly, most of them aren't worth watching. But I do have to admit, there's one reality TV show that I've grown to love, and that's Duck Dynasty. And what's really refreshing about this show is that they pray together as a family at the end of every show. And Phil, the patriarch, spoke recently, and he was asked, "Aren't you worried about how Hollywood will influence you negatively?" And he said, "I think Hollywood should be worried about how Jesus will influence them positively." Phil and the Duck Dynasty family are using their gifts to share Jesus and influence others in a positive way. It's not the norm for television these days. However, their ratings are breaking records, and they're in their fourth season. I think that proves that more and more want wholesome TV shows with family values. Several months ago at our teachers' meeting, we were given the theme to build our talks on, which is, what are we doing, what should we be doing with God's Word and how it impacts others and our lives? I started thinking, and first I realized we're all in a different walk with God. We're in different maturity levels in our Christian faith. Some of us are baby Christians, some are new converts, some are brand new to the faith. And some have loved Jesus for many, many years. Then I thought, what is in us, even though some are teachers and some are pastors, some are lay persons, what do we each have and what should we be doing with it? I believe that even though each of us are at a different level in our walk, we all have something in common. God-given gifts and talents. And that's what I want to talk about today. Gifts from God. Webster tells us a gift is something that's bestowed or given voluntarily without compensation. It's also a talent, endowment, aptitude, or inclination. I believe that each of us, uniquely created by the grace of God, has been given significant gifts and special abilities to further the kingdom. Peter tells us in Acts 2:38 that if we repent and accept Jesus, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And also the Bible tells us our body is a gift. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Your body is a gift from God, a sacred place, a place of the Holy Spirit, a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell in and work through. On October 2nd, Pastor Warren told us the greatest gift man can have is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then just recently, October 9th, Chad Collins said this, "Knowing we are in Him gives us confidence to truly be ourselves, and His Spirit shows us our specific gifts and how to use them in making Jesus known." Sometimes I hear, I just don't know what I'm here for. I really don't know my purpose. Our mission in life is to know Jesus and make Him known. And you'll read about that in Matthew chapter 28. It's called the Great Commission. We need to know Jesus and use our gifts to make Him known. The Bible goes on to tell us in 1 Timothy that everything we have that's good is a gift from God. The gifts we have received are not ours to keep to ourselves. God gave them to us for a purpose, and that is serving Him and serving other people. Each of us has something to give. We can give our money, our time. We can be a friend. We can visit sick or the lonely. We can do volunteer work. We can be a peacemaker. We can give unselfishly to our spouse, our children, our parents, our friends. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul tells us the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. And I want to read from Romans 12, 5 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I want to briefly unpack these spiritual gifts that Paul's talking about. While we could teach 20 minutes on each one, we simply don't have the time for that. The first gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of prophecy. Now don't let this scare you. Simply put, it's a supernatural ability to receive and convey a message from God. Do you find yourself receiving a message from God to give to another person, and it's confirmed by them as truly coming from God? Serving or helps. Do you have the ability to serve joyfully in any way with flexibility? Do you find yourself able to jump at a moment's notice to help anyone at any time? And you may have this gift. Hebrews 6:10 tells us that God will not forget your work and the love you've shown Him as you helped His people and continue to help them. Another gift of the Holy Spirit is teaching. Do you have the ability to explain clearly and aptly? Do you have the ability to explain clearly and apply effectively the truth of the Word of God? Do you love to study the Word? And do you have a desire for others to know about it? This may be your gift. Exhortation or encouragement. Are you especially sensitive to people's emotions and have the desire to comfort and give them encouraging words? Then this may be your gift. Giving or generosity. The ability to give material wealth for the work of the Lord with a great sense of freedom. Are you always looking for opportunities to give your resources to meet a need? Leadership. The ability to organize and lead projects while handling people. Do you enjoy planning and completing projects? And do people respond well to you when you lead? Then this might be your gift. Showing mercy. Do you have the ability to minister to those who are in a difficult situation? Do you know when to be quiet and when to speak? Or what to say and what not to say? Are you drawn to those who are hurting? Then this may be your gift. And I believe not only do we have these gifts available from the Holy Spirit, I believe that God gives every Christian a talent or special ability to use to further His kingdom. Peter touches on this in chapter 4, and in my Bible it's titled, Living for God. Peter chapter 4. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. Peter tells us to pray. Some of us have a gift for powerful prayer. Peter tells us to love each other and offer hospitality. Peter tells us to use whatever gift we have received to serve others, which gives God all the glory. We serve God when we serve others. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells a young Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. And he goes on to say, for God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. In Rick Warren's study guide titled 40 Days of Purpose, he tells us to seize the moment. And this comes from session 5 titled, You Were Shaped for Serving God. Rick tells us, you were put on earth to make a contribution. You weren't created to just consume resources, to eat, to breathe, and take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. He says, seize the moment and meet the need. Spend whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, seize the moment. I want to share a time in my life when a few seized the moment and blessed me. I'm hesitant to share this as I don't want to make this all about me. But it's so intertwined with God and Huddle and a few of you guys and my Christian walk that I'm convinced that by sharing this, we'll honor God and we'll all be blessed. And before today, the only people that knew about this is my pastor and my wife and just a few others that attend here. A little over 2 years ago, on a Wednesday, it was Huddle Day. I remember John Tice gave the message. And I came home and I was feeling rotten. It wasn't by his message. I want to make that clear. I was physically feeling terrible. My head hurt, my neck hurt, and I went home and I sat on the couch and I started rubbing my neck. And I felt a bump. This was January. Fast forward to February and it's still there and it's bigger and I'm getting concerned. So I call my doctor and he wants to see me. And the first available happens to be on a Wednesday. I go to see him and he determines that I need an MRI to see what's going on. So I scheduled an MRI, first available Wednesday. The results came in a few days later and my wife took the call. And I'll never forget that day. I'd come home from an outreach board meeting at our church and my wife told me they had determined from the MRI that I needed to see an oncologist. Whoa. I stopped dead in my tracks. Talk about an attention getter. All of a sudden, all the little things that I thought mattered really didn't matter much. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, but they told her that just to be on the safe side, that anything that measures over a centimeter needs to be looked at by a cancer doctor. It's just pretty much routine. They do it every time that something's over a centimeter. So I made an appointment with the oncologist. He examines me, looks at my MRI results, and he recommends a biopsy. He schedules me for a biopsy on Wednesday. In fact, every procedure during this ordeal was on a Wednesday between 11:30 and 1:15. I find that interesting. Well, the day of my biopsy, I came here to talk to the guys at my table. It was table 1. Just to let them know that what was going on. And I had to be at the hospital at 12:30. And as I was leaving, Mike Lepoy and Scott Garner stopped me out there in the hallway. And they wondered why I was going that way when I should have been going this way. So I told them I was having some medical tests done, and Mike asked me, can we pray with you? And I said, yes. When I arrived at the hospital, Jeff Egloff was sitting there waiting on me. He wanted to pray with me and just be there by my side. And I was a bit nervous. I have to admit, I was a bit nervous. Well, they took me back and got me ready, and they told me they'd locate the lump with an ultrasound, guide the needle in, take a tissue sample, and check it. So they proceeded. A pathologist was sitting at a microscope, and I'm laying there, and this doctor's looking at the monitor, and he's moving this thing around, and he's moving it, and he's moving it. And he looks up and he says, Mr. Wilson, there's nothing abnormal there to biopsy. Whatever was there is gone. I'm so glad that Jeff and Mike and Scott seized the moment. I wonder how many times we miss God's mark. I wonder how many times in our busy life we walk right past people who need us. I want to read in Pastor Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, from chapter 33. We miss many occasions for serving because we lack sensitivity and spontaneity. Great opportunities to serve never last long. They pass quickly, sometimes to never return again. You may be the only chance. You may only get one chance to serve that person. So take advantage of the moment. Real servants do their best with what they have. Servants don't make excuses, procrastinate, or wait for better circumstances. Servants never say, one of these days, or when the time is right. They just do what needs to be done. The Bible says if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. God expects you to do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. He goes on to say, less than perfect service is always better than the best intention. You may think you don't have much to give. You may think that what little you have is insignificant. I have to think of the poor widow woman in Mark chapter 12 who just gave 2 copper coins worth a few cents to the temple treasury. In Jesus' eyes, that was huge. You may think with all the terrible things you've done, there's no way you could ever pray for someone or make a difference in God's kingdom. I think of the Apostle Paul, who before he was converted hated Christians and by all accounts was present at Stephen's stoning. Has God been nudging you to do something, yet you've been held back because of your imperfection? Listen, throughout the Bible, God used imperfect people all the time. Don't let the devil trick you into something. Don't let the devil trick you into thinking that you're not good enough or worthy to serve God. Don't let him make you think you're too busy or ill-equipped to serve. Pastor Will Price told us last March in a message here that the devil wants you to be anything but Christian. I mentioned earlier that we're all at a different level in our walk. Have you been saved for a few months or a year and still haven't stepped up? Maybe it's time. Have you been in the pew for 20 years as a spectator? Maybe God's getting tired of carrying you, and maybe it's time to step up. I want to share a poem that illustrates this, and it's called Prince in the Sand. And some of you probably heard this because Max Whittup shared this at a gathering one evening, and I said, that fits really well into a point I want to make. Anyway, one night I had a wondrous dream. A set of prints on the sand was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, yet mine were not along the shore. But then a stranger print appeared. I asked the Lord, what have we here? This print is large and round and neat, but Lord, it's too big for my feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to seek my face, take up your cross and walk in grace. You disobeyed, you would not grow. You would not stand against the flow. Your neck was stiff, your ears were shut. So there I dropped you on your butt. I'm just reading what Max gave me, so. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb. Where one must rise and take a stand or leave one's butt prints in the sand. Maybe it's time to step up to the plate. The question you may be asking yourself, how do I know what my gifts are? My question to you would be, What do you enjoy doing? Whatever your passion is, that's what you're good at. Do you like to cook? Start a men's breakfast at your church. Do you like to read the Bible and discern how it applies in daily living? Maybe it's time you teach others. Start out simple. Check your bulletin board at church. We all got a bulletin board. There are countless ways to serve. Hundreds of ministries to get plugged into. Ask those around you what you're good at. They will tell you the areas that they see that you're gifted in. Ask your wife what she sees in you. Some of us may not want to know that answer, actually. But she may say, honey, you're so good with the kids, and that may be just enough to make you want to go help with a youth group. I'm going to give you a challenge today. Go to your church, ask your pastor what gifts he sees in you and how you can be used to glorify God. Pastors, I'm going to give you a challenge. Be prayerful before you answer. Don't just think of an empty spot to put him in. Be thoughtful and discern where this person would really thrive and make a difference. And guys, be open for the answer, because you never know where you'll end up. You may say, no, I can't do that. And you'll be partially right, because you can't. Because through God, through Christ, all things are possible. You're here and you're huddled up. My question to you is, are you going to get in the game? The Lord is looking for a few good men. What are you going to do about it? 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. In closing, I leave you with these words from John Wesley, an incredible servant of God. His motto in life, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you ever can. I want to say a short and quick prayer. And just put your hand on the shoulder to the gentleman next to you. I want to pray with you real quick. Oh Lord and merciful Father, seek us and show us our gifts. Send those in need to us. Keep us open and alert to those around us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, we read our Bibles. We go to church, but we don't stop there. We go and we do. We live in a dying and hurting world. We have the opportunity with God to breathe life into it. Thank you and God bless.